Again, great to be with you all this morning. A great privilege for me to share God's Word with you. Today is August the 23rd, 2020. And if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. That's where I'd like to start this morning. You know, whether it's the news on TV or social media, so much of what we see these days is hate. And meanwhile, there are a lot of people doing good things, kind things, loving things. And we don't hear too much about that, but they are out there. I was talking a few minutes ago about how so many people have responded to my brother-in-law, whose house burned down. Just an outpouring of kindness. And what Kenny told me is very true. There are a lot of good people, you just don't hear about them. I think we've all heard teachings about walking with the love of God, and indeed we ought to, especially in these days that we're living in. And we love because of all that God has done for us. But this morning, I would like to look at the originator of love. The Bible is God's Word. It's His communication to mankind, and in it, we find out about God. God reveals to us who He is. The Bible says God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. His very nature is light. And it also says that God is love. We'll read that in a few minutes. His very nature is love. And so, as we look at some scriptures this morning about God's love and His love toward us, it's oftentimes just overwhelming to think that the Creator of the heavens and the earth loves you. He loves you. Who, me? Yes, you. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, "For you are a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." This was God's message to the children of Israel. Above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the least, the fewest of all people. Why did He choose them? Because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Now this was the nation of Israel. Not everybody in the world, but He chose them to be His people. Why? Because He loved them. And they could in turn choose to love Him back. But I want you to notice it was God that initiated the love. So they were above all the people on the face of the earth, exclusively God's people, until God sent His Son. And I'm sure you're familiar with John 3:16, probably know it by heart. God so loved who? In John 3:16, it says God so loved not just Israel, but God so loved the world. Now it's all the people on the face of the earth that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Through God's plan and His Son Jesus Christ carrying it out, God brought about an even greater extension of His love. God so loves all human beings that He devised a way where if anyone, Judean, Gentile, anyone on the face of the earth believes in Jesus, they could live forever. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. Going from one end of the Bible to the other here, huh? 1 John chapter 4. And I'd like to just read this section here, beginning in verse 8. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That's part of his very nature. God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he's given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, says it again. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him. Look at this, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. You know, back in verse 9, it says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. We already have life. God sent his Son so that we could have eternal life. Why did God want human beings to have eternal life? God so loved. It was love. And in verse 10, it says that he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation means full payment for our sins. So it is God who originated and initiated this love. Israel didn't love God so big that God decided, well, I guess I better love them back and deliver them out of Egypt. No, no. The world didn't all turn to the Creator and have so much love that God just said, well, I better love them back and send my only begotten Son. No, no. God initiated the love. God is the one who loved us first. Verse 19 again, it says, we love him because he first loved us. And for those who choose to believe in Jesus, those who accept, recognize, confess Jesus as Lord, and believe God raised him from the dead, they are saved, born again. They receive eternal life. And as it says, they receive his Spirit in them. And for those who are born again, God is now our Father. And if you look at verse 10 again, it says, herein is love. Herein, this is the standard for love. Herein is love. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God loved first. That's the standard for this love. He devised the plan of salvation. He gave his Son, who then carried it out. We had nothing to do with it. And you know, religion sometimes has it all backwards. Some teach that if you really want God to love you, well, you first need to love other people. You need to love one another. And then, you know, as we perfect that love for others, we kind of progress into loving God, and then the better we get at loving God, then God will love you. That kind of selfish teaching totally eliminates God's grace, and it's not biblical. He loved us first. God so loved the world, and we love him because he first loved us. So how big is this love? God so loved all people, he was willing to pay the price of his only begotten Son. Was there ever a higher price paid? And because his love is so big, God willingly paid that price, knowing full well none of us deserved it, none of us could earn it, and some would even reject it. And yet, God so loved, he sent his only begotten Son. Look at Romans chapter 5, if you would. Romans chapter 5. And in verse 6, it says, Romans 5, 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Did anyone deserve it? No. Did anyone earn it? No. It was all because of God's great love for you and for me. God loving you, God loving me, has nothing to do with whether you were good. God so loved the world, all the people in the world, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, the ones who are rotten to the core, the ones who are trying to be good people, and all in between. And, you know, a person might say, well, you know, I mean, I wasn't such a bad person. I never murdered anybody. I was doing pretty good compared to... The Bible says there was none righteous before God. No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No amount of works any person could ever do to, on their own, obtain eternal life and have God be their Father. God's love is so big, he invited everybody. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, anyone could have eternal life and have God Almighty be their Father. What an invitation that is. Would you dare to put a sign on your front yard that said, "Dinner tonight for whosoever, come on in"? That's what God did. Whosoever. Look back at 1 John chapter 3, if you would. 1 John chapter 3. You probably figured I was going to go to this verse. If you did, you're right. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." We don't normally use that word, behold. You know, if I see something, I don't go, "Hey, Kathy, behold this." You know, what that means is, wow, look at this. Behold, look at this. What manner of love, what kind of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God or the children of God. And we are. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. God not only extended his love to anyone and everyone so they could have eternal life, he went far beyond that and we became his children, his sons and daughters. And again, this was his choice, his decision, his plan. His love is that big that you and I are now literally children of God Almighty, the Creator. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. Verse 2 says, beloved, now, right now at this very moment, beloved, now are we the sons of God or children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, right now, we are children of God. And so, you know, you might say, yes, I'm a child of God because I got born again. I confess Jesus is Lord. I'm a child of God because I got born again. Well, yes, we are children of God because we got born again. But whose idea was it? Ours? We are children of God because of God's great love wherewith he loved us. He first loved. He initiated the love. He's the originator of love. And now he is our Father. You know, most dads try to do their best for their kids, you know, but being human, we fall short at times, right? No dad is perfect. But God, as our Father, he's in a class all his own. You know, I did a teaching a while back called He is Both. And I shared about how God is both our Father and our God. It's on the blog if you haven't heard it. It's under recent teachings from May 31st. See, because Israel didn't have both. He was indeed their God because he loved them. And for us, it's both. He is our God and our Father. Why? All because God is love. And so in thinking of God as our Father with his great love, look at Matthew chapter 7. We can go to our Father with our needs because our Father loves us. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Jesus Christ said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds. To him that knocks it shall be opened. Boy, those are great verses. Or what man is there of you, of whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? That sounds kind of odd. But in their culture, when they would have their flat bread laid out, they would have a stone on top of it, a stone on the bottom, stone on the top, and it would be a round flat stone. And, you know, you could almost think it was one of a loaf of bread, the stone would be. Well, what dad would be so stupid, so goofy, that if his son, well, I'm hungry, can I have some bread, and he'd just grab the stone that was on the bread and say, here you go. No dad's that dumb. Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? In Bible times, there were fish that looked like a serpent. Well, what dad would be so stupid to not know that? This is a great example Jesus is giving. What man is there of you, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? If he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then being evil, and that means you're not perfect, and none of us are. If you then being evil, not perfect, if you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? He's a good, good Father to give good things to his children. He is our Father and he loves you. And if you look at the Gospel of John chapter 16, boy, so much happened during what we refer to as the Last Supper, so much teaching. I often wonder, wow, was that what dinner was like every night with Jesus Christ? You read some of those things in the Gospel of John, but I'd like you to look at John 16 and verse 23. It says, Jesus was talking and he said, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Don't pray to me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. God, who loves us and is our Father, wants our joy to be full. And it's God that can bless us to the end that our joy is full. Ask, seek, knock. These things, verse 25, have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time comes when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. I don't need to pray to the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you because you are so good, because you walk perfectly, because you pray so long and so hard, because you've memorized the entire Bible, God loves you. No, 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 no. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me. And have believed that I came out from God. The Father himself loves you because you believe in Jesus Christ. You believe who he is, that he came from God. Oh my goodness. Isn't that wonderful to think of that? That the Father himself loves you because you've accepted Christ. You've loved Jesus Christ and believed that he came from God. This love that God has for us is oftentimes just so overwhelming. You know, it's almost like a balm, a healing balm, when you focus on, think about, read verses about God loving you, knowing you don't deserve it, you couldn't earn it, he just pours out his love upon you. And so, you know, as we think about that, you know, we read that thing about ask, seek, and knock, and then here Jesus Christ said, ask. He loves you. And in thinking about asking, look at 1 Peter chapter 5. A familiar verse when we talk about prayer. And when we pray, we're praying to our Heavenly Father. We're asking, we're seeking, we're knocking. In verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 5, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Because he loves you. And where it says casting all your care, that word care means mental distractions. Anything that's causing you stress, anxiety, mental distractions, any of that stuff, cast it on him. Take it to your Father. Give it to him. I think sometimes of the king that got that, you know, threatening, nasty letter. And it said, you know, he just went before God and spread the letter before God and said, look, look what I got in the mail today. I need some help with this. Casting all your cares, your mental distractions on him, for he cares for you. That word care means to have concern. We can cast our cares, our problems, our needs, that which causes us mental distractions. You know, it says be anxious for nothing. You know, that's some anxiety. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He is our Father. Jesus said, ask so that your joy may be full. Jesus said, the Father himself loves you. We can cast it all on him because he, as our loving Father, has great concern for his children. He cares. He's concerned. He loves us. He cares for us. There's a place in the Gospels where Jesus Christ said, the hireling flees because he's a hireling and cares not for the sheep. God, who is love, who is our Father, he cares for you. It's like that song we sing, you know, I know he cares for you. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy. The Bible reveals who God is. God is rich in mercy, and aren't we so blessed about that? Very thankful he's rich in mercy. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. And never forget what we read in 1 John. He loved us first. We love him because he first loved us. God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, not of yourselves, but it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This love is so big that God laid all the sins of the world on Jesus Christ. You know, we read in 1 John 4 that he's the propitiation, the full payment for our sins. It says the same thing in chapter 2 of 1 John, that Jesus Christ, he's the full payment, the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. God, in his great love for us, took care of the sin problem. If you back up just a little bit to chapter 1, verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, meaning he died for us. That's why we have the redemption. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. God has forgiven you your sins. You know why? Because you're so sorry. God, I am so, so, so sorry. God does not forgive us our sins because we're so, so sorry. God does not forgive us our sins because we promise him, I'm never going to do that again. I promise God, I will never, ever. No. God has forgiven you because Jesus Christ paid the full price for all sins. And why did he pay the full price for all sins? Because God so loved that he sent his only begotten Son, who carried it out for us, and now we can have forgiveness of sins. Behold what manner of love this is. Jesus Christ completed God's plan. God's plan was a plan of love. Because of God's love, he made eternal life available to anyone. Because of God's love, he's forgiven all sins to those who are born again. Because of God's love, he's given us his Spirit. Because of God's love, we are now his dear children. Behold, what kind of love is this? Back up a little bit to 2 Corinthians 6, if you would. Oh, it's sometimes just overwhelming. Sometimes you just got to bask in it. Just soak it in. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, at the end of that chapter, verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Children of the Most High God, a father unto you. The Creator of the heavens and the earth is our Father, a loving, kind, and good Father. Overwhelming, isn't it? It almost sounds too good to be true, but it's too true to not be believed. And so let's go to Romans chapter 8. I mean, we could, you know, just do this for hours, I guess. There's so much in here about God's great love for us. Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? A good, loving, kind Father who wants us to be full of joy, who wants us to cast our cares upon him, to ask, to seek, to knock. And if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all because of his love. how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What do we need? Ask, seek, knock, and stay persistent. Jesus taught us about prayer. Men ought to always pray and not faint. Stay at it. Who's going to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God that justified us? No. Who's he that condemns? Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? He's going to condemn us? Not hardly. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that what? Loved us. Loved us. The only reason we can be more than a conqueror is because God loved us and has done so much for us. Verse 38 is where I want to be, for I'm persuaded. Persuaded, convinced, all in. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing will ever, ever separate us from his love. Nothing you do or don't do will separate you from God's love. What kind of love is this? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. And nothing will cause God to remove or take away any of the rights, privileges, and abilities that he has given to each and every one of his children. A person may not know them, a person may not take advantage of them, but they're all ours just the same. And it's just overwhelming when you read in the Bible what our loving God and Father has freely given to each one of his children. Because of his love, we have salvation and eternal life. Because of his love, we have remission and forgiveness of all sins. Because of his love, he's made each one of us righteous in his sight. Because of his love, he's pronounced each one of us not guilty. Because of his love, he's given each one of us his spirit and the ability to operate it. Because of his love, we are now heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Because of his love, he's given us all spiritual blessings. We are complete in him. Because of his love, we've been delivered from the power of darkness. Because of his love, we've been transferred into the kingdom of his dear Son. Because of his love, we are now seated in heavenly places, and so much more. Not to mention being gathered together to meet Jesus Christ face to face with new bodies to receive rewards for all the good that we've done in this life. What kind of love is this? And I would encourage you sometime this week to read the first two chapters of Ephesians and read it slowly. Take your time. Let it sink in. Let it soak in. Maybe read it two or three times and see what our loving God has done for us, all because of his great love. And you read in there that it was his choice, his decision, his great desire for his children. All that God has done for us is because God so loved. And as a loving father to us, he continues to love us day in and day out because nothing can separate us from that love. So I would encourage you to take some time to read at least those first two chapters in Ephesians this week. And of course, like it says in Ephesians 5, let us be imitators of God as dear children. Let's love people with God's love. Imitators of God. Well, imitating God, well, what do we know about God? God is love. God so loved that he gave. And from what we've seen this morning, Love is not deserved. Love is not earned. Trust may be deserved, may be earned. But when it comes to the love of God, God gave us His love. We didn't earn it, and we didn't deserve it. So think about that when you reach out to love others. Doesn't matter if they deserve it. Doesn't matter if they earned it. We just love. Let's love people with God's love. Our country needs prayer. Our country needs the light of God's word. And our country needs God's people to share God's love. So, God loves you. Shall we pray? Almighty God, our great, wonderful, loving Heavenly Father, we just are just so amazed, so in awe of your great love. We thank you for communicating to us how great and loving you are. And Father, may we, with great thanksgiving, remember your great love that you have for us. May we be reminded in those times when we have distress and anxiety and things come up that we have a Father who loves us dearly and that nothing can separate us from your love. And how shall you not with him freely give us all things because you love us? May we continue, Father, to love you back, praise you, take advantage of what you've given to us in this life while we wait for Jesus Christ to come back. And may we, with the love wherewith you've loved us, may we reach out to others and love them as well. Thank you for this time this morning, for the great privilege to share your word with your people. And I pray in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you all for being here today. I'm going to post this teaching on the blog, and we will be back here again next Sunday unless the Lord returns. Until either happens, believe that God loves you and love others. Have a blessed week. I love you. God bless you.